Good afternoon, Tim.
Good morning.
Jesus. Whoa.
See, our strategy is simple. You get these hubs. We call them church hubs. They're these, you can see it easily where God opens up, starts working in a village, and it's going to become a hub church, where that means where all the grease and oil and you got all these folks 360 degrees out for 4 or 5 hours around, and they're all missions all around. You understand? And then they all connect. All these large wheels connect, and now they've turned into sections, we call them. And so, but every one of these has a huge hub in it, and we're constantly opening up new missions out of these hubs, mission churches. And so we was out there one day and got this thing going, and the Holy Ghost was with us. And we was doing our work and like we do it. And there was these two fellas sitting in the church. And I'd never seen them before. So, but they were sick. You could just tell they were just sick. So we prayed for them. No, nothing happened that you could see at the moment. Most of the miracles we get are a day or two or three down the line. Well, most of them are. But the healings are miracles, healing miracles, all kind of definitions of that stuff. And so we was there and that I asked them guys, who is he? Who are these guys? Oh, Brother Dave. Those guys are trouble. We wouldn't even suggest you praying for them. I looked at them. I said, they're just sick idiots. No, that's not who they are. Their daddy. So see, whether you like it or not, you are who your parents are. Jesus. See where I live, the family unit's still intact, seriously. One person runs the entire family group, and it could be 200-300 people. And it's still intact. It's solid. And I've set up my family like that because it's right. And so, American idea is wrong. 17, throw them out the door. Make it on your own. I love you. I'll see you in a few days. God bless you. Here's some money. Lord Jesus. Jesus. What a devil. That is not scriptural at all. Holy Ghost. No wonder we're having trouble. Keep the unit intact. Let it multiply. Keep it intact. Holy Ghost. Now, we'll get off the family and back onto this story. Problem was, this fellow was a very powerful black magic warlock. He was the most revered, feared individual in the whole part of the state there. Could not read, could not write, but could speak to you and you're dead in the morning. True. I said to them, well, if he's so powerful, why are these boys here? Well, they were men. Actually, they were men. They said, well, here's the story, Brother David. This guy has hated us for a long time. He's been fighting us. He's been cursing us. And we've had lots of trouble out of this guy. But now both his boys are sick, and he can't heal them. Now, we got to have a difference of opinion, because you don't believe that they can heal anyway. But you are wrong. They can heal. It's a type of healing, actually, where they lift and move spirits around and stuff like that. Because it will eventually come back, but it takes a minute. So it appears that they've been healed. And people are lifted. Now, because these two boys couldn't get healed, they came to one of our services, and because of who they were, we made them get born again. Because your choices are simple. Die. Just die. go back to your daddy, die, go to hell. That's your choice. Or bow to Jesus, he's going to heal you, and you get to go to heaven. But because you're going to get born again, when you go home, you have hell right now. But it's a short amount of time. Oh, yeah. Jesus. So they got born again. We prayed for them. Nothing happened. They left. By the time they got home, both of them were healed. Going through the jungle. Yeah. Several hours down through there, they got healed. All right. That's wonderful. But, Daddy, who understands the spirit world much better than you do, he outguns you. He has bigger depth and perception in the spirit than you do. He knew it when them boys got born again. He was waiting on them when they got home. How about that? You got to understand that I'm not playing up or giving credit to the demon. I'm telling you how life is in the woods where I live. Because he's a loser. Jesus. It don't matter how much he perceives and discerns. He's a loser. Well, here's where it is. I know this is grating on y'all a little bit, venting you up a little bit, but it's good for you. We need to be stretched occasionally. It's healthy. Now, he asked him, where y'all been? Well, the older son is a little bit smarter than the younger one. The older guy kept his mouth shut. The younger guy said, we went to that gospel service over there. We got born again. We got healed. When he did that, Papa went ballistic. He said, choices are simple. You're out of here. I'm throwing you out. No inheritance. I mean, he disowned him on the spot. Well, the young guy, he just didn't know how to take no. He hadn't been born again but a few hours. But yet he had love in his heart for his daddy. He understands that he's disowned and all that's fine with him, but he wants his daddy born again. That's more than I can say for some Christians that's been born again for 20 years. Jesus. So anyway, this big fight, oh, Lord, she got healthy. I mean, it went on for several weeks. I mean, it got really radical. I mean, we were persecuted. Our churches went under spiritual attack, physical attack. I mean, we were getting battered because these two boys got born again. But you see, you got to be willing to face the enemy if you're going to go out and do God's work. It is not a plaything. This is not some bless me club. This is not us forward no more. This ain't greasy, gray, sloppy, agape we're dealing with. We're dealing with war here. Holy Ghost. And we're dealing with a mean man with power. Now those kind of guys are hard to deal with. You admit it. Yeah. I'm constantly going and getting lawyers and bailing people out of jail, constantly bandaging up wounds from people that are beat and stoned, constantly going and praying for people that are sick because the demon spirits are rampant, they've been loosed against us. Ah, yeah, I admit it. How about that? But I admit to you something else. I am not a loser. I'm a winner. Fire on this earth from the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Jesus. Grant us insight. Grant us power. Jesus. Now the birth of Jesus took place, in verse 18, under these circumstances. Mary, his mother, had been promised in marriage to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found to be pregnant. Uh-oh. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now, you got a young virgin girl. Promised. She turns up pregnant. She looks at everybody and said, God did it. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah, God did it. We believe you. Kill her. Well, Joseph has a problem. Well, look. I'm asking you to expand your ability in the Holy Ghost. You're having trouble, some of y'all, with some of this stuff I'm telling you. You got to understand that when God makes you pregnant, He didn't ask you before He impregnated me. He didn't ask me before He impregnated you for your opinion. God has an agenda, and it's to destroy the works of the devil. And He's going to do it. We were singing about the sovereignty of God. It is a phenomenal thing that you better get used to. But you got to understand, you don't see the whole picture. You see through a glass darkly. One of these days, it'll be clear as a bell. We'll all see just how wrong we are. I'm telling you to be open to the Holy Ghost. Last night, I happened to tell you I went through a battle for you. Demons came and visited me. Murder is prevalent in this area. Witchcraft, sodomy. And I'll tell you right now, I bind their authority. Jesus. Jesus. And I'm going to tell you something. You got to get used to the Holy Ghost doing things His way. He impregnates people. He changes the rules on you. And I'll tell you, you got one thing you can do about it. Sign with me, Holy Ghost. Either that or turn religious and stay stagnant where you was a while ago whenever He was there doing it. Jesus. Holy Ghost. Joseph is a good man. He don't want to cause trouble. He really loves that girl. But look what he's got. He's got no alternative here. Don't you understand the Holy Ghost pinned him down? Look at it from his viewpoint. He is in a mess. The law, God's law, is very specific in what he's supposed to do. Isn't that true? Yes, it is. But he's sitting there. He knows her. He loves her. He cherishes her. He knows the family ain't going to let nothing. And she's coming up saying, God touched her. Then an angel came. The Spirit of God overcame me. And I ended up pregnant. She says, I'm still a virgin, but I'm carrying a baby. Ooh, you're asking a lot, Mary. So am I asking a lot out of you. So will God ask a lot out of you every time He's ready to move on. You've got to be willing to trust the Holy Ghost. That's not an easy thing for you to do. Because you don't even trust your neighbor. Isn't that something? You live secluded and isolated. I think it's called fear. Jesus. But Jesus is ready to do something. He's impregnated you. He didn't ask my permission. He did it because it's His sovereignty. He did it because it's what He wants to do. I want you to listen to what God did to us. He did something to our work with this old man that was so mean that just, it revolutionized us. It brought us to realization, because me and the prophets and the evangelists and the pastors and teachers and all the elders and directors, we all sat down and we had to talk about this. Because I didn't approve of what God did. How can you not approve of what God does? Well, you get things in your mind that it's a certain way. And you talk to other elders and other counselors and other directors, and you get into agreement. Excuse me. And what you do, I'm telling you, it's hard for God to move you. Why didn't God go to the Sanhedrin court and say, "Hello, fellas, I'm fixing to touch Mary"? They wouldn't have let Him move. When Jesus come out doing the things that He was prophesied He was going to do, what did they do to Him? They killed Him. Same thing religion will do to you. Let it go. Let it go to the sovereignty of God. It's not that hard. I've been through it a few times. We're due another one, actually, to tell you the truth. Because we got so much figured out about the Shekinah glory, I'm sure we're wrong. So I'm sure He's fixing to come manifest Himself some way that does not go along with what we're doing. And we're going to have to change the whole system again. Boy, you don't give yourself much credit. I absolutely do. I'm out there hustling, buddy. I'm going. I'm the one sweating, climbing and doing and going and putting 5,000 miles a month on my truck, going to villages and hiking and riding motorcycles and horses and walking. And I know who's out there. Okay. And right alongside me, God, who is flowing, He's not sweating, He's not in distress about nothing. Jesus. But that old warlock I'm not kidding, he stirred up and got really serious with us. He unleashed his whole battalion on us. So we unleashed ours on him. And it looked like we was losing. And then the report came that this, now you watch, we have this massive gospel machine. I had to put the whole machine to bear on one individual. Now you tell me He's not powerful when you do that. You tell me He's not commanding a couple of principalities. I'm telling you, this guy was serious. But then the report came. This Indian who cannot read nor write, but who does go somewhere every year more than you do, puts himself in a cave, they seal it, and he sits there with no water, no food, no nothing, until the devil comes and manifests to him, and they talk about plans to destroy. How about that? Jesus. Yahoo. You wonder why you're not winning. You can't fast one meal, falling on the floor like you're going to die. Jesus. You can't pray 1 hour. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh. Every 5 seconds looking at your clock. And yet you expect what you're doing to beat these people who are serious and been at it for millenniums and never been contested. Now, I'll tell you right now, we're serious. You can tell we are. You can tell it. Oh, baby, we're serious. I will not bow. Do you understand that? I am not bowing. Holy Ghost. I'll take what I have to take. Psalms 44, verse 22. Romans 8, 35, 36, and 37. We are counted as sheep to the slaughter all day long. Whatever it has to be, that's fine with me. But I won't bow to the devil's side. In Jesus' holy name. Well, that old man got sick. Guess what hit him? The two diseases that was on his boys. Both of the diseases blasted him. He started going down, fighting, cursing, hating. His youngest son, the whole time, even though his daddy's cursing him, standing there. No. Gospel. Yes. Jesus. Holy Ghost. Jesus. Standing proud, buddy. I'll tell you, he looked like some 30-year veteran to me. I mean, he had the mentality of a warrior. He had no loss in him. I will win. And his daddy's looking. He cursed me, he cursed God, he cursed everybody. His last breath, he looked at his son. I hate you, I hate your God, I hate. He fell dead. Well now, my opinion. God hating warlock brought destruction and havoc on God's people, destroying. For the last 35 years, people's lives. If anybody needs to be eat up by demon hosts, it's him. In my opinion, he's the bottom of the barrel and he deserves every ounce of what he's going to get. So be it. Oh man, you can't talk. Don't tell me how I can talk. I live in the fray 24 hours a day and ain't going back out of it. I got no I've been down there 25 years. I got no mentality to back out. I still have killed the demon in me. And I will. We will destroy the works of the devil. Yes. Jesus. That young son didn't have the same mentality I did. He grabbed his daddy in death at 9 o'clock at night. Jesus' name, you come back here. This guy ain't even been born again but a month, 1 month. See, now, this ain't got nothing to do with you, okay? We don't believe that you have to do 4 years to be able to raise the dead. We believe that you have to receive the blood of Jesus on your life. And from the very day you're born again, we teach you the power of the blood is ultimate power that has been applied to your life. Everything about you is finished as far as demons are concerned. You have a new life and you will win it. Yeah. We believe in the ultimate power of the blood of Jesus' covenant. We don't believe there's no contesting it under any circumstances. Punto final. So, this young guy has been taught in his short-lived month, every service he's been at, you can raise the dead. You will win this victory. You will not lose. You will win. Jesus, Holy Ghost, When is enough enough? When you get enough. I get asked that so many times. Do you understand verse 19 that he could have been put away privately, and this guy could have been destroyed and put in the ground, and we'd have been rid of him. But no. This young man said no. You'll not have him, demon. How can he even think? Well, the problem is, he don't know anything. He only knows the love of Jesus. He knows nothing. He's oblivious to any other kind of doctrine or theology. He don't know anything. He only knows a few scriptures. So he don't know. I didn't tell him. Good riddance to your daddy. And it's not that I don't care about the man's soul. This man was, he tormented us. He hurt the house of God. As far as I'm concerned, he was a Philistine king. He needed to be slaughtered. That's just the way it was. And he was slaughtered, we won, and shot the Hannibal shot. But that son, he just didn't know any better. He wasn't like us. We know better. We would have let him go to hell. It's not a joke. There's many people you're allowing to go to hell because of your knowledge. But God's sovereignty, grace, mercy, and love is beyond your capacity. Listen, I have an idea. I am now clued into it, but I don't understand it. Because I can read him straight into hell out of here. But you gotta understand that along with that covenant we got with Jesus, mercy. It's powerful. And grace abounds. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. And I just couldn't believe it. And that young man sat right there for 6 hours, commanded his daddy to come back. And at 3 o'clock at night, in the morning, early morning, the old man gets up. Well, that changed our whole life. Jesus. Listen to this. Joseph, being a just man, upright, not willing to expose her publicly to shame, disgrace, decided to repudiate, dismiss, divorce her, and quietly and secretly. See, there's so many times you do that when God's not finished. Do you understand heaven loves you? But these people who hate you, he loves them too. And we sometimes have a hard time with that. You got to get over it. Just let it go, man. Let it go. Let power come. Jesus. I've come to cast fire and I wish it was already kindled. Come on, Holy Ghost. Shiarianakane. I was so impressed with heaven over this that I went immediately out there when I found out what happened. I just couldn't believe it. I'm not kidding you. This whole doctrine of dead raising, finally put it on paper, and I'm wrong. So we don't do that anymore. I get asked by, you wouldn't believe the people who ask me for our theological beliefs, our doctrinal beliefs. You have to get them out of here. And they're subject to the writer. I'll tell you that right now. They're subject to the writer. And so, I went over there. I'm looking at this guy right now. I am mad at this guy. I'm serious. I ought to be happy and blessed. But instead, I feel anger. I feel honest. And I ask him, what are you doing? But he's not the same guy that I've encountered in times past. I can see that he's a different fellow. I can see that his countenance has been removed. And humility and love and grace and mercy have been applied to his life. And I just can't understand that. I said, all right. What happened? He said, well, Brother David, now, to get this done, we got to go to Revelations. But we're going to come back and read this Matthew, and then we're going to take out there for dinner break. Revelations chapter 1. Now, you understand that this is an individual who cannot read or write. Do you understand that? Do you understand he's also an individual that has never graced the doors of a church anywhere at any time? He has stood out and cursed and rebuked our powers many times. But he has never heard the Word of God preached in his life. Y'all understand that? All right. It's good. You're going to need it. So here we are. I'm looking at him right in the face, and I said to him, all right. What happened? He started weeping. I mean, just sobbing. He says, well, I died, Brother David, cursing God. I said, all right, I know that. All right, I'm up there. That's what's got me so aggressive. Hello. I want to know, from where we didn't see you till you came back, there was a six-hour period there. Who'd you run into out there? Did you see anything? What was it like? And I usually don't talk a whole lot about these situations because y'all key more on that than the actual power that it takes to get them up. And so I don't talk a whole lot about it, but this one is so intriguing to me. It's amazing. He said, I left my body, I was dead, and then all of a sudden I was held suspended. That was his son's doing. That was faith. Held it. Okay? Said I was horizontal, and I saw the sun and the moon, but then, his lights. This light came brighter than the sun at noon strength. I says, okay. What else you see? He said, I turned. And there standing me was a man looking at me. How big was this fellow? He was big. You have a description of it? He said, yes, Brother David, I do. He said, I've never seen a human being like him in my life. I said, okay. Sir. So far I'm with you. And he said, he had on a robe down to his feet. I said, oh yeah, what kind of robe? He said it was glowing. Uh-oh. All right. Now let me just describe this to you. This is how he describe it to me in verse 13, Revelation 1. In the middle of the lamp stands one like a son of man, clothed with a robe. These are the exact words that old Indian. He was covered with a robe, Brother David, down to his feet. I said, oh my God. Okay. Come on. He says, he had this golden cinturon belt around his waist. I said, oh. Did he have any hair? He said he had long white hair. I said, really? Was there anything special about it? He said, yeah. It was glowing. Brighter than the sun. I said, you're doing real good. Is there anything else about this fellow that was unusual? He said, yes, sir. His head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow. And he said, his eyes, Brother David, looked like, this is his description, looked like my wife's oven. They have these, they make them out of rocks and, y'all call it adobe, clay and stone. It's a big oven they put their bread in. And when it's fired up, it's an awesome sight to look down that hole and see that thing. He said that man he saw, his eyes, looked like his wife's furnace. I said, wow. I said, this is all right. We can live with this. What else about him? Well, his feet, it looked like a machete when you stick it in the fire and it turns brazen red. I said, his feet was light color. Yep. Wow. What else did he say? Did he say anything at all? What did he look like? He said, yeah. He said something to me. He said, Brother David, he speaks Aztec. And that's what he and I were speaking, so I said, that's good. I can speak it. That's good. I speak the language Jesus speaks. This is real good. Jesus. I said, what did he tell you? He said, Brother David, when he spoke, he said it was like the river. When it was Tlatemiweyache means when it's overflooded its banks and it's dragging all the rocks, it's just thundering with power. That's the only thing he could relate it to. He thundered out of his mouth. Nimitsneke! I said, no way. I said, it ain't possible. I said, I know the Bible. That can't be true. He said, that's all he told me. And when he told me, Nimi Snicky, I was brought back to life. I said, that's impossible. I just was overwhelmed. Like you see me now, I'm just overwhelmed by it. I have a hard time with that. Jesus' love is so powerful. Nimi Snicky means, I love you. I couldn't believe it. A God-hating warlock from hell spent his whole life eating raw blood and flesh of humans with demons. Jesus walks up to him in manifested form of his glory and told him, I love you. Instantly, he was brought back to life. I find that amazing. I find that simply overwhelming. We have it all figured out. We are wrong. His power, His ability far surpasses anything we know. The power of forgiveness, the love of Jesus, is the strongest force I've ever seen. It's amazing. His power is phenomenal. His glory is wondrous. The son didn't even know how to lead his daddy to Jesus, which he didn't have to. I know that because he was forgiven. So they had to send a runner to get a pastor. They did. Hour and a half through the woods, 2 hours back. He was there about 6:30 in the morning. He was there praying with this old man to get born again. Our enemy had been with Jesus. You've never been around a human like him in your life. I like to go now and just sit and just look at him. Nobody says nothing. Me and this old guy just sit and look at each other. He's just an amazing fellow. His whole family's born again. You may be pregnant and others not agree with your pregnancy. You may be touched by the Holy Ghost and others not agree with it. Let them alone. They'll pass. For what you got won't. It's eternal. They may be wanting to divorce you, repudiate you. They may be wanting to disgrace you. And they do occasionally. It don't feel good to your emotions. Let it go, man. The power of love. There's no match in it. No match in it. No match in it. No match in it. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost, Jesus. Because God's going to send intervention on your behalf. See, everybody in this room wants to be impregnated with the Holy Ghost. But ain't nobody wants to be shamed because of it. But if you're going to get verse 18, you're going to live in verse 19. To live in verse 20, you got to go through 19. The doubt, the wonder, the confusion that it brings, all the impregnation of God. Because it's not like us. It's supernatural powers. And we don't understand it like we used to. My Indians, people tell me, how do you get those ignorant people to get so many miracles? Well, I'm looking at ignorance. You do not know the spirit world. All of them do. They are not ignorant. They can't turn your computer on and send email. They can only raise the dead. I am not angry with you. But you're going to have to broaden your mentality to accept things differently. So that the Spirit of God can run through you. He's not against your email. He's just against your email running you. He don't mind how much technology you have. He gave it to you, for heaven's sake. He don't care if you have 4 or 5 of them Lincolns sitting under your garage. Listen, God don't care. As long as you ain't sitting under there idolizing those things, he don't care. That's not the problem here. The problem is spiritual awareness of the Holy Ghost and what He's wanting to do. Jesus. Look. Don't be afraid, son of David. That's hard to do sometimes. Here's what's going to happen. We've got to get into verse 21. To do that, you got to get impregnated, abused. God's got to intervene for you. And then you get verse 21. She shall bear a son, you shall call his name Jesus. The Greek form of the Hebrew Joshua, which means Savior. He will save his people from their sins. Now the Amplified opens it up a little bit broader. Watch this. That is, prevent them from failing. How about that? That's pretty powerful if you ask me. Prevent them from failing. Prevent them from missing the true end and the scope of life, which is God Himself. Wow. Those are some very powerful statements I just made. It is the will of God for you to understand that. I'm going to put this up so I won't keep looking at notes and stuff. Jesus. Jesus. Holy Ghost. See, here we was, getting our teeth kicked in by the devil. Who's the thing? Who's the source? What does it matter? My victory is in the cross. Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you something. God knows how sovereignly to turn things around to your side. We got to know how to submit to the sovereignty of heaven and walk impregnated by the Holy Ghost. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah.